Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is now the 6th of February, 2025. It's a Thursday. This month, of course, always zips by. January is like a long, cold cup of tea. February is like hopping on Skittles and Fanta, and I just can't wait to get to March, like a child hurtling towards the swings in the playground. Get this over with. It is a frosty morning in Dublin. But it is bright, and it's actually fully bright at about 7:30 these days in these lovely frosty clear mornings. So cause to hope indeed. Lots to do today in the show, so join in, why don't you, in the usual fashion. The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32, and you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Now, we have a lovely message for you on the programme today. It is simply don't give up on your dreams, because we're going to meet a man who was in a band, a very cool band in the 1990s, and it didn't work out, as bands often do. The band just couldn't pay the bills. So he went into a day job, and it was a fun day job, and it was in the entertainment industry, a concert promoter, brushing up against The Boss and Ed Sheeran, Tommy Tiernan, Christy Moore, Duane McNally, all these people in person. And, it's a concert promotion job. It's fun. It's nighttime, but it's fun. But the dream was niggling away and cajoling and elbowed his way in. So in his 60s, fresh young 60s, he's returned to it. It's Bren Berry is his name. And the rockers out there will remember the band about 30 years ago, Revelino. Very respected, cool indie outfit with sounds like these. You remember it now, don't you? Yes, you're back there in the 90s with jeans that were frayed at the end and boots and check shirts, and just everything was kind of a little bit chillier than it is now, basically, is it? So we'll talk to Brendan later on. 51551 is also the text from the south alone. Now, you need in life things to look forward to, and maybe your holidays and flying out to a sunny climb is the thing to look forward to. And then Ryanair, which do great business flying people around the world, a huge success, Irish story. They do get under your skin sometimes, and there is a paperless revolution on the way. So Ryanair is on its way, hoping to scrap printed boarding passes from this May. This has been sort of announced already, but it's now creeping up as people prepare and count down the days to their wee holidays. And this is a wider move to get away, to do away altogether with the check-in desks at airports. Travel experts warned of absolute havoc with this change. So it's not a bad idea, they say, to allow a little extra travel time when flying Ryanair for a few weeks after it begins around May, according to Cork BO reporting this morning. So if you are someone who uses Ryanair with your printed digital boarding pass that somebody's printed out for you, you're going to have to get a Ryanair app or go to the website on your phone, log into your account, and basically if you're not a digitally savvy or app ready, this is going to be a headache and a half for you. If you don't have check-in ready at the airport, they currently charge €55 if you haven't charged in, £55 if you're coming from a sterling district. So Michael O'Leary, he basically announced this at a press conference back in October. It says, we're working towards the 1st of May that everything will be done on the app. Nothing will be done on paper anymore. Nothing. 60% of Ryanair passengers use the app at that stage. He wants it to be hit 100% by spring and then launch this whole paper-free thing in May. So that's what's going on. There's lots of people wondering, well, what happens if your battery runs out? Currently, if your battery dies, you know, Ryanair say they have their seat and passport and we could do it all at the boarding gates, provided you've checked in online. But they do point out, even on the Ryanair website, it says some destinations demand a printed boarding pass only. If you depart from a Moroccan airport, popular for holidays, a digital boarding pass will not be accepted. So you have to carry a physical printout. So there's lots to be worked out. It's still up in the air, dare we say. No? OK, I'll just move along. So speaking of this, actually, travellers in airports, There are discussions around various rules and things when you're flying, basically, and the rules that should be plane habits that air flight attendants believe should be entirely illegal. Manspreading, yeah, we're all up for that one, where people, often men, well, it's only, you know, 99% of men, sit with their knees so far apart that they take up more space than their seat allows. That is rule number one. It's just unacceptable. The second one is wearing strong perfume. It's already an environment where people are prone to getting nauseous, so having an extra fragrance on top of that is not a good mix. You would have to add links as well to the men. You know, you're also supposed to have a shower as well as just, you know, showering with links. That's not pleasant for everybody. Of course, if someone's gone through all the Loop airport shopping and duty free, they're piling on their perfumes, trying them all on. And for the rest of us, that just feels like we're walking past the Lush shop where you're going, oh my God, all the smells in the world all happening at the same time. Can't take it. And also the third rule, three plain habits. The third one should be illegal. Having your bare toes out in the cabin. Cher is actually a campaigner on this. Says that sandal wearers seriously deserve to go to jail. Don't expose your toes in a plane. Just have some humanity. But as Sartre once told us, hell is other people. Isn't that what he said? I think I've been copied and conned over many times. This is an animal story. Oh, this is a story for if you're thinking of changing your lifestyle and your job for whoever you are. If you ever want to work alongside lemurs, lions and tigers in Cork's leading attraction, now is your chance. So Fota Wildlife Park is looking to hire a new trainee ranger to care for and feed its exotic animals in Carrigtuathail Wildlife Park. The Fota Park is in Carrigtuathail. No qualifications are necessary. All you need is your leaving cert and some good English to be considered for the role. Does that rule out Northerners? I presume the grand, yeah, no, the equivalent leaving cert. And good English you need, so that rules out insert whatever county you don't like in the country. I didn't say Tipperary. You thought it. It wasn't me at all. It's actually, applications are open, by the way, for that on a serious note until the 21st of this month. So animal lovers, you have to move very quickly. Send your CVs in. It's actually a lovely, 100 acres, open in 1983. It's run as an independently not-for-profit charity. It's a lovely place to hang out. FotaWildlife.ie, or you can ring them up. There you go. In other animal news, Barry Keoghan is back working with a donkey again. And so this is obviously he worked with a donkey before in the Banshees of Inisherin or Inisherin, whichever you're having yourself. But more importantly, Barry Keoghan is in his very first Super Bowl ad, commercial I should call it. And it's for a new ad. Who's it for? Squarespace. That's a website building service. It's quite expensive. And so he co-stars with a donkey, just like he did in the 2022 film. And the commercial was filmed in Ireland, as indeed was the Banshees. I'm not sure if they went over to Achill as well. What happens? Well, in the ad, Keoghan travels the countryside on a donkey to let people know about the design-driven platform that helps people build websites. So while the donkey may look familiar, it's not the same. It's not Jenny from the film. It's not Jenny the donkey, but it's the same people who handled Jenny. Wow, they really went to great lengths. Squarespace, they spent a fortune. The Super Bowl is little go out this weekend on the telly, but it's available on YouTube. And Kansas City Chiefs are playing Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday in the Super Bowl. Now, Barry Keoghan, of course, he's one of our own. I'm sure he would make sure there's no Paddy Whackery involved in this whole thing, this whole fandango at all. No Begarriness or Irishness. He's a millennial, for goodness sake. He knows better, doesn't he?
Sure, look. Like Squarespace, like.
Sure. Squarespace, like.
Making real what did we want it to be. And now does be.
Oh, Squarespace, oh, website, so. Oh, sure it is.
Holy Jenny, mother of Jenny. That's all I say to that. Cat Melodian. The music is one thing, but he's also saying does be and things like that. It's like Cat Melodian, that's what it is. By the way, if you're concerned where Jenny is, we looked it up and she's in a secret location in the Midlands, Jenny the Donkey from the Banshees film. Secret location because obviously she wants her privacy. She's right, little Greta Garbo is Jenny the Donkey. I want to be alone. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis, which means Jenny will come out of retirement to star the film. Made by a child. as Daniel Day has done. Seriously, look that up as well. And now we're having great fun here, but unfortunately I have to bring you back to this time yesterday when the world was convulsed by that shock announcement of President Donald Trump that he wanted to take over the Gaza Strip and build, these are his words, the Riviera of the Middle East. It's part of his kind of new policy of pubescent diplomacy. It's kind of like Macaulay Culkin in the 1994 movie Richie Rich about the wealthiest boy in the world. Remember that? He gets everything he demands, but he's left without the one thing he wants. Friends. That's how Donald Trump's second term is going so far. Every country in the world, obviously, you've seen, have immediately said this is a terrible idea. The United Nations and the Taliban are joined together in united condemnation. So literally everybody. It's an expert saying it's a breach of international law. Not even the extremist Israelis believe this can happen. The chances of it happening are basically zero. The US Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, it's reported, learned about the new policy, which has upended a century of American policy, by watching it on TV. This is his foreign minister, essentially. And a press photographer, you have to see this, it's a visual one, captured the moment of utter shock on the face of Donald Trump's chief of staff inside the Oval Office as she was watching on while he described the plan. And she, her eyeballs literally pop out. Meanwhile, the White House staff have begun rowing back on the Gaza plan. And the New York Times, it says, amid global alarm, top administration officials sought to soften elements of President Trump's proposal to force Palestinians out of the territory and take it over. Experts across the world have said the plan would violate international law. And speaking to reporters, Marco Rubio twice suggested Mr. Trump, he's only proposing to clear out and rebuild it, not claim indefinite possession of the territory. His special envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, told Republican senators at a lunch that, oh no, there will be no troops involved in this and Mr. Trump doesn't want to spend any US dollars at all. So that's like they're kind of rowing back, walking it back, as they say in American parlance. And at the White House, it's his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said the president has not committed to putting boots on the ground in Gaza and didn't specify how he could take control of Gaza without using military force. But she did praise President Trump for thinking outside the box. And never mind thinking outside the box. Thoughts are off the trolley. Saudi Arabia, of course, the major power in the region, the one that Trump is keen to please, they've categorically ruled it out, as of Egypt and Jordan, where he thinks the Palestinians should go. And they've said no. The dream has collapsed and the U-turning has begun. The Americans, needless to say, the chat shows overnight have been having a lot of fun with this. Here's Jimmy Fallon.
President Trump said the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and build the Riviera of the Middle East. Yeah. Trump wants to take over Greenland, Canada, and now the Gaza Strip. He's like everyone at 2 a.m. drunk ordering off Amazon. I'm gonna add Gaza Strip to it, to cart. I want Gaza Strip. A source close to the president said it was Trump's own idea. Everyone was like, oh, we can tell. Yep, after Trump announced his plan for Gaza, a Democratic congressman said he is filing articles of impeachment against him. Now, good luck with that. There's a better chance of turning Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East.
It's true. Jimmy Fallon, it was not always great, but I thought he was quite good on that. The Daily Show as well, which is where Jon Stewart lives. I mean, he does one day a week. Desi Leidick has been excellent on this. Here she is in reaction to yesterday's shock announcement.
Trump is going to turn Gaza into the Riviera? He couldn't even turn Atlantic City into a nicer Atlantic City. They tore down so many of his casinos, he turned Atlantic City into Gaza. But okay, he wants to rebuild it and he wants to turn it into Mar-a-Lago. At least the Palestinians will have a place to go back to.
Donald Trump calling for the permanent resettlement of roughly 2 million Palestinians.
I don't think people should be going back to Gaza. I think that Gaza's been very unlucky for them.
And he says he's willing to use the U.S. military to do it.
We'll do what is necessary. If it's necessary, we'll do that.
Okay, just so I'm clear, your idea is to take over Gaza, rebuild it into Mar-a-Lago, and make sure that the Palestinians who live there can't go back? that is the craziest thing he said since yesterday and until tomorrow.
And the day after, and so on. Now, for balance, it must be said that one of the great successes, of course, of Donald Trump's first term was the Abraham Accords, which is all about moving those Arab countries closer in diplomatic relations to Israel. So he's still pursuing that. And even since that clip you've heard overnight, the White House have rolled back that he's not going to put boots on the ground for the military. We're very, very, very objective, of course, in this programme. Now, there's a lot of fun there, but I must mention this is a New York Times report as well, where they went and their reporters on the ground spoke to Palestinians in Gaza, and they'd expressed a mixture of condemnation and confusion over this plan of Donald Trump's. While some residents rejected leaving Gaza under any circumstances, others said conditions were so unlivable after 15 months of Israeli bombardment that they would consider relocating. And of course, the bombardment was in response to the Hamas attacks of October the 7th. One man said, it's unacceptable to expel people from their homes. He's 33 years of age, he has a family, but he said, I never thought I would get to this place where everything is a struggle. Do I want to live through a tragedy for another 20 or 30 years? Do I want to continue to live through hell? I can't. He goes on to explain that the easiest of tasks they had before the war, like charging a phone or just washing themselves, have become enormous daily ordeals. In lieu of a shower, this man, his wife and their three sons lay a sheet of plastic across a classroom at a UN school and dump glasses of water on themselves. It's the horror of it. And they're also pointing out here the 100,000 people crossed into Egypt from Gaza at the start of the war. Most of those have stayed there or have gone across the world, including actually come to Ireland as well. But since the invasion of Rafah, from which they'd crossed in the southernmost part last May, all Palestinians are barred from exiting the territory, which I think is people forget that they literally cannot move from there. They can't go anywhere. So there you go. That is the sadness in the world. I'm sorry for reminding you. But we can't turn away, can we, from reality and truth, sadly. OK, people are texting there about the airport so far. We'll come back to that another time. Today is an important anniversary, actually, because Bob Marley, much beloved singer here, he played a famous concert in Dalymount Park all those years ago. He died. He was in his 30s, wasn't he? He was in his 30s when he died from skin cancer, a rare form of skin cancer in his feet. But today, 6th of February, 1945, he was born. He would have been 80 years of age today, Bob Marley. 51551 is the text. Good morning to you all and have a lovely Thursday. We're up and running.